This podcast was recorded on Whadjuk Noongar country. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay our deepest respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Thank you. Witchery, written by Andrea K. Knight. Episode 1, The Customer. There was a unique smell to books that people loved to romanticise. It always amused Alessandra Innes because the source of that smell was mould and spores embedded in the pages, decidedly unromantic things that people did not usually wax rhapsodic about. A lot of things in life were like that. Magical in the imagination, but crude and yet unexpectedly powerful in reality. Of all possible emotions and experiences one could feel in their lifetime, love, in all its complexity, followed the pattern of this phenomenon most of all. This was something of which Alessandra would soon come to be aware. Painfully, deeply, deliciously aware. Her feet hurt from the hours she'd spent sorting the books in the bookstore she worked at, which was owned by her uncle. She was paid for her hours and she lived in a flat upstairs above the shop. There were 4 flats all told, 2 taken up by her family and the rest were inhabited by lodgers for the other shops in the building complex. The flats were small, simple and cosy. She missed the large rambling gardens of her very young childhood when she lived in the country with her parents. But the advantage of her current surrounds was an unlimited supply of rare books, both arcane and sublime. From behind a curtain dividing the shop floor from the back room stepped her uncle, who went by the decidedly old-fashioned name of Norbert Goodfellow. He looked like he was hewn from a collection of carefully chosen river stones that had been placed together to form a dolmen, upon which various beautiful mosses had grown. His features were round, comforting. He had hazel eyes that twinkled with the light of the waters of a river older than memory. His hair was peppered grey, and despite him being short and somewhat round, there was something very beautiful about him. He routinely had his female customers blushing and smiling, no lines, no flirting, just by pure force of personality, that force being unrelenting kindness. "Alessandra, my darling, you simply must sit down. You have been at that shelf all morning," he said. Sighing and letting a smile grow on her face, Alessandra stepped away and faced her uncle. In his hands was a steaming hot cup of tea. Meeting her eyes, he held it out to her. "Thank you," she said, taking the tea and following her uncle to the chairs behind the front counter. She hooked a stray lock of her dark curly brown hair behind her ear and blew briefly at the tea. "I swear, it doesn't matter what I do to keep it tidy. That particular shelf is always a bloody mess." "The books have minds of their own," he said, easing himself into an old brocade chair with a crocheted granny square blanket thrown over the top of it. "They know where they want to be. You should just let them wander." He often said strange things like this to her. The basic laws of physics and logic did not seem to apply to Uncle Norbert's worldview. What was frustrating was that the world seemed to go along with it, despite all Alessandra had been taught growing up.
"Yeah, but Norbert, how are people going to find the books they're after if they're all over the place?"
"The books will find them," said Norbert patiently, "if they're meant to know what's inside them." She scoffed, blowing on her tea and curling up in the chair beside her uncle's.
"Yeah? That'll sell heaps of books," she said, sarcasm in her voice. She glanced around the room, her lucent green eyes shining with mirth. It really is a miracle you're still in business. I mean, half these books have been digitized on those university websites, you know?
You can't download what we have here, said Norbert firmly.
Lessie smiled and nodded.
I guess not. People forget about the exploration, said Norbert. His voice rang through the dim room like an ancient bell.
Books are merely waypoints. The journey is the key. The very experience of walking through a room full of books and searching for the right one and stumbling through others that you would never have otherwise seen is a lost art. Just consider what some are missing out on. Goodness me, it hardly bears thinking about.
Lessie huffed a sigh in defeat. He was right. He was often right.
Now, your aunt should be back shortly with the makings for dinner. Did you decide what you wanted?
Despite the fact that Lessie had been living in her own flat upstairs since the age of 16, Norbert and her aunt Adelaide were insistent that she get good food into her belly on a regular basis. They took their guardianship of her very seriously, and her uncle, being of Teutonic heritage, was efficient and firm in the performance of this task. At first, when she had moved into the flat next to theirs, she argued with them in defence of her newfound independence. Then, after a week of reheated botched meals and ovenables, she returned to her aunt and uncle, shamefaced and very hungry. Adelaide was an exceptional cook. Lessie discovered that it was just best to relent and accept the food.
Oh, something Italian if she can swing it, said Lessie.
Of course she can, said Norbert. The only thing she can't make is a bad meal.
This was the undeniable truth. Once, when Lessie had tried to use the stove in her guardian's flat, her aunt had said to her, Alessandra, you can crochet or knit anything you put your mind to, but after microwaving that cinnamon donut into a child-smoking anus, I never want to see you set foot in my kitchen again. Not without extensive lessons and a fire blanket. It wasn't that Lessie didn't understand the basics of cooking. It was simply that she lacked the attention span to carry out the most basic of methods. Peeling and slicing potatoes would be her limit. All too soon, she would drift off, her mind roaming to places fantastical and enthralling. A doctor's waiting room, with interesting magazines to look at, a bus stop where you only have to wait a minute for the bus to arrive, and the ultimate, a date with an attractive, clever, kind person that wasn't a retrofuck asshole masquerading in a nice man suit. She was about to discuss a new stockist that had contacted them about distribution issues when the chimes on the front door tinkled and jangled and the aged hinges creaked. Lessie then felt her throat seize up, and words, which she usually had absolutely no problem finding in everyday conversations, had pissed off out of her recollection, leaving her in the dust. A young man had wandered in, looking utterly lost and befuddled. His eyes, an indecipherable sort of hazel, had the softness and angst of a puppy that knew that there was freshly cooked bacon in the room, but he was told in no uncertain terms that he wasn't allowed to have any. This new customer needed something very badly. Tucking a stray lock of wavy hair the colour of dark oak wood behind his ear, he gulped and walked over to the counter. Hello, he said. I was wondering if you had any books about werewolves. Lessie blinked in surprise. She would usually respond to a customer's queries promptly and efficiently, but presently her brain was busy writing sonnets to the classical curves of the young gentleman's lips. There was a white marble statue somewhere in Rome, angrily wondering who had the audacity to fuck off with its mouth. Her uncle then stepped in, and she heard him chat to the fellow, distantly, as their entire focus was on the customer's face.
If you're looking for young adult literature, I regret to say that this isn't really that sort of bookshop.
Oh, no, said the young man, looking suddenly panicked. No, I'm not talking about fictional storybooks, I'm talking about folklore. Or lifestyle? What to do if you're a werewolf? That sort of thing.
His accent had warped in his vexation, and she wondered if he might be from somewhere other than the UK.
Oh, well, that's an entirely different thing, isn't it? That might be in the back. Norbert turned and looked to Lessie. Will you see to this young man while I go look?
Lessie's mouth edged open, and a squeak escaped. This seemed to be enough of an answer for Norbert. As he disappeared into the back room, Lissy stared at the young man waiting in the middle of the cramped little bookstore. She gulped. Talking to good-looking men wasn't exactly a skill of hers. She had to diffuse the tension within her. "He's not that good-looking," she told herself. "He'd never model for Gucci or Calvin Klein. No, he'd be in action movies, beating the shit out of faux Nazis while growling, shirtless, his hairy chest oiled and gleaming and streaked with fake blood. Or a lead in one of those incredibly quirky romantic comedies. And oh, this is not what I meant to be doing." It wasn't until the young man gulped and edged forward that she realised she'd been staring at him for slightly longer than what was normal. "I'm sorry," he said. "Have I scared you? I don't actually know if I'm a werewolf." Fear was the last thing to occur to her. The first thing, upon hearing him talk again, was that he might have been Australian. Her heart hammered mightily. "No," she said, jolting herself out of her hormone-induced stupor. "I'm not scared at all. I'm just very awkward." "Oh," he said. "Are you an actor?" she asked. "Is this a prank show?" The fellow frowned. No, I wish it was so badly." Lessie felt herself making a noise between a giggle and a moan. For some bizarre reason, his desperation was adorable to her. He looked alarmed at her reaction, and she stopped and realised that she hadn't exhibited the response of a normal person. A blush threatened to deepen in her cheeks, which were usually the colour of raw sienna. She cleared her throat. "Sorry," she said. "Sorry, I'm weird. Do you have a name?" Her swerving conversation seemed to have the young man confused on top of the anxiety he walked in with.
Luca. Luca Darrow."
Of course, it was something that friggin' adorable," she thought. She nodded, pondering on the exact contour of his strong, scruffy jawline as he spoke again.
"Do you have a...
Alessandra?" she said, cutting in, her voice a little more breathless than she would have liked. He frowned and began to try to follow.
"Les...
just call me Lessie," she said, cutting him off again and waving a hand. "Easy to remember, way less fussy." He gave an uneasy smile, fiddling with the edge of his jacket sleeve. "Are you like this to all your customers?"
"Oh no," she said. "I'm usually far more professional, so I apologise in advance for my lack of decorum. Your face is just very distracting."
Probably not something I should have admitted, she thought to herself. She pushed on. "This is probably a question you get a lot, but where are you from? Your accent?"
"Oh, I lived in Australia until I was about 16. Most people don't pick it up."
He looked mildly impressed. "I have an ear for accents," she said, pointing to her ear lazily. "You grow up in retail in this town. You hear your fair share of them."
"I'll bet," said Luca. "What about you?"
He was immediately awkward, and Lessie was very well acquainted with his expression. She guessed that he wanted to know why she had brown skin, the story behind it. Why were her eyes a striking shade of sage green? Going by the thoughtless comments of those she encountered day to day that didn't know her, people of her complexion and ethnicity weren't supposed to have that eye colour. Yet here she was.
"I'm a mix," she said. "A bit of Greek, a bit of Cyprian thrown in there. Mum's people were from the West Indies, apparently. She was adopted, so she never knew the details. And I live with my aunt and uncle now, so I don't really think about it much." She shot an uneasy wince at him as she spoke.
Sorry. He blushed and he ducked his head. No, it's okay. I started it all with the accent talk," she said, waving her hand. She desperately lunged for a change of subject. "Do you really think that you're a werewolf, or are you just messing with Norbert?"
Luke swallowed, stepping forward. "I'm not messing with him, I promise. I'm just going through some stuff, and it's really weirding me out."
"What? Did you wake up next to a dismembered corpse with blood all over your face or something?" she said.
That was usually the reason people thought they were werewolves, right? she thought to herself.
"What? No, nothing like that. No, behavioural changes, body changes," said Luca. Before Lessie could say anything else deeply disturbing, Norbert emerged from behind the beaded curtain with a few books in his arms. Now, Lessie, you were going to have some time off, yes? Lessie dragged her eyes from Luca and glared at her uncle.
No.
Oh, well, I think that you should, said Norbert. What she wanted to say was, Uncle, I would rather stay and be as helpful as possible in this particular situation. And what came out was, I am not going anywhere, old man.
Norbert blinked and tilted his head. Lessie did not usually talk to him like that.
Excuse me?
Lessie closed her eyes and frowned at herself, wishing she had a functioning filter of some kind.
I'm sorry, Norbert. I'm sorry. I just...
She stopped. She swallowed. She tried to find words that weren't, This guy is a stone-cold fox, and I want to look at him for as long as possible, plus he thinks he's a werewolf, which is kind of hilarious. She failed to find any other words than those, so she just froze and said nothing at all. Norbert spoke before she could continue. Lessie, we should talk of it later, I think. Now, please go upstairs. You've been working for far too long, and your fatigue has clearly made you snappy. It wasn't fatigue, but she loved her uncle so very dearly, and he was so kind and so lovely to her, that she would rather chew off her own nipples before embarrassing him in front of a customer, or disrespect him any further than she already had. She nodded, getting up as she stared at Luca.
Okay, sorry about...
She winced. Me talking.
Me too, about your...
He stopped. He pointed to his face, and then the air, and then shrugged. There was no appropriate pantomime for, sorry I brought up both your race and your tangled family history with one question. She nodded and waved her hands again. It's all good. Nice to meet you. You're very handsome.
Fuck. She had not meant to say that.
Norbert's eyes went wide.
Lessie?
Yeah, sorry, yeah, sorry. She pointed to the door.
I am going now. It was nice meeting you, Luca.
She tore herself away, rushing out of the room before her resolve failed her. She had never embarrassed herself so entirely in front of a man before. Usually they weren't in possession of a particular configuration of features that apparently bestowed her sex drive with the ability to completely plow through her already fragile inhibitions. The worst thing was that she felt if she told anybody else about what had transpired, they probably wouldn't understand why she was so messed up by it. He wasn't conventionally beautiful. He was easily the sort of fellow that would have been someone's type, but if he was that person's type, then he was a sterling example. A niche beauty. His nose had a bump in it. The end was a little proud. His chin jutted a little and had a dimple in it. Yet it all came together and balanced itself out in a way that made Lessie's ovaries explode. In that moment, leaving the room was a Herculean effort. She raced up to a flat. It was a small studio space, decorated rather eclectically. The room was artfully festooned with strings of LED lights of various shapes, butterflies, crystals, fruits. Together with the coloured bulbs in the lamps, it gave the place a warm glow. Along one wall was an antique sideboard. It was covered in a velvet cloth upon which was set a variety of things that, to the layperson, would look like a bizarre collection of knick-knacks, but to those in the know, were an array of tools and sacred objects. A circular clay tile had an elegantly carved five-pointed star covering its surface, a pentacle, for what was Lessie's altar. Around it were candles of differing colours, a jar holding some bird feathers, a polished carved stick of a deep brown wood wrapped with purple silk at one end and decorated with beads and natural objects that had deep meaning to Lessie on the other. This was her wand, but it was a ceremonial piece, rather than something that she pointed at things with and said spells at as such. A mortar and pestle were also on the altar, and a yag dirk, a decorative dagger which she used for ceremonies. These were the basic tools of many a pagan, what some referred to as a witch. Lessie often referred to herself as the latter. She was cognizant of the fact that her practices and beliefs weren't exactly that of her ancestors, but in many ways she was glad of it. First of all, she wasn't entirely sure who her ancestors were on her mother's side. Her father's ancestry she knew much more about, so she went with that. The other thing was that
The ancients believed some really bizarre shit, and some of it was actively dreadful. But at the core of these age-old myths and stories was something that called to her beyond all modern wisdom. It was elemental, powerful, comforting, like a mother's touch. She plodded past the altar to a shrine set up nearby. On a small tea table was a white statue of a buxom, gorgeous woman wrapped in artfully arranged swathes of fabric, cradling a shell to her ear. Candles were arranged about it, with seashells, rose quartz crystals, and blue glass stones placed nearby. Lessie looked the statue in the eyes, scowling at it.
"Aphrodite, why do you do this to me? Why, when I finally see a guy that I might like, do you let my mouth screw up that much?"
The statue did not answer. Lessie softened and sighed.
"Yeah, I guess my dorkiness is more my fault than yours. Sorry."
The sudden digital trill of her phone cut through the silence in the room, and Lessie turned and grabbed it, collapsing onto her bed by the wall.
"Hey, sweet cheeks, read any good books lately?"
said the caller. Lessie smiled at the sound of the voice. It was her best friend.
"Hey, Sheikah, very cute."
"What are you doing tonight?"
asked Sheikah.
"I'm bored shitless, and it's your turn to pay for any intoxicating substances we might consume."
"Just say drinks or alcohol, Ash. It sounds way less incriminating over the phone."
"Yes, but you know I hate to limit myself with these sort of things."
Lessie chuckled. Ashika was the one person in her life that unfailingly got her out of her own head, and it was a relief to talk to her. Obviously, tonight was not going to be spent on the couch binging old episodes of X-Files and weeping over the perfection of Gillian Anderson's face.
"You sound less than perky. Was work shit today?"
asked Ashika. A groan, long and pained, gurgled out of Lessie's throat in response.
"That good?"
asked Ashika.
"I don't even know where to start."
"Just jump in. I'll catch up,"
said Ashika. Lessie sighed, closing her eyes and trying in vain to encapsulate the storm of embarrassment and hormones that had been the last 20 minutes of her life.
"A hot guy, Ash. A hot guy."
"In your nerdy-ass bookstore?"
asked Ashika.
"I know," she gasped. "First time I remember seeing someone under 50 walk in that door that didn't look like they spent 90% of their day in a basement filled with taxidermied wildlife, and I'd go and make a complete dick of myself."
"Wait, back up. What kind of hot are we talking about here?"
asked Ashika, in cool curiosity.
How did one describe the appearance of a young man like Luca Darrow? Lessie had only just met him, but his name was indelibly forged into her memory.
"Scruffy hot," said Lessie.
"Oh, yes,"
asked Ashika.
"Dark tones hot," added Lessie.
"Oh, really?"
"Befuddled white boy from Australia hot," Lessie continued.
"Ah,"
murmured Ashika.
"Lost puppy eyes in the body of a hairy, wild Adonis hot."
"Oh, fuck off,"
gasped Ashika.
"I actually blurted out, you're very handsome and I wasn't being sarcastic."
Ashika made a wordless sound that spoke volumes. It was despair, amusement, and a fair dash of schadenfreude mashed together in an exclamation most women knew intimately and yet never ever wanted to hear from their friends. It went like so.
"Any chance of him returning?"
Ashika's voice was then a creak. Lessie could just picture, in her mind, the crinkles in the corner of Ash's eyes as her friend cringed over the phone.
"I sincerely think not," she replied.
It surprised her how sad that fact made her, but distantly so. Deep within, as though there were memories he was a part of that hadn't actually happened yet. Like they had parted in reverse.
"Well then, you really need to go out with me tonight and get shit-faced."
"I do, I totally do," said Lessie.
"You're done for the day then?"
asked Ashika.
"Yeah, Norbert kicked me out of the bookshop when Tall, Dark and Fluffy started talking about possibly being a werewolf," said Lessie.
Okay, maybe you dodged a bullet there.
Oh, honey, with the buns on this guy, I would have happily have taken that bullet.
Yeah, when we get together tonight, we're going to have a little talk about self-esteem, healthy dating choices, and not chasing unhinged strangers who think they're mythical creatures.
I'll be listening to you, Ashika, but my ovaries will be screaming for fulfilment at any cost, said Lessie.
Ah, Lessie, never listen to your pussy. She's a dumb fuck, said Ashika.
Lessie felt a smile pull the corners of her mouth. Her humiliation and self-hatred faded a bit in that moment. She loved Ashika. You are, of course, right.
Yes, I am, said Ashika. I'll see you at the pub.
All right, then. I'll see you later.
Bye,
said Ashika. Lessie hung up. Talking to Ashika was exactly what she had needed. The experience downstairs with Luca had shaken her. She felt like she was a knitted jumper and that damn boy had snagged a thread and had walked off without untethering it, leaving her to slowly unravel. She stuffed a purse in a crocheted handbag. It was quite big, not big enough to be a backpack, but not small enough to be a regular handbag. She'd made it herself out of fine cotton cord, which she had dyed into bold colours herself. As a result, the bag was one of a kind and completely outside of any current fashion movement. It fit everything she needed to carry. She liked the colours and felt good about carrying around something she had worked so hard on. And that was all that mattered to her in the end. Its insides, however, she was not so proud of. She imagined most people had things of value inside their bags. Various devices, makeup, keys to cars, credit cards that worked, housed in nifty holders, responsible adult stuff. Lessie, however, did not have these things. Besides the basics, a worn-out purse that was once splendid and glittery, tarnished keys to her flat, and her phone that was a couple of years out of date, she had candy wrappers, crumbs of crushed food she'd forgotten about, countless shopping receipts faded by time, old shopping lists, a battered notebook, a few pens in various states of wear and tear, a little pencil case with yarn, embroidery floss, beads, stitch markers and crochet hooks inside, usually some unfinished yarn project in a sealable bag, strawberry lip balm she hadn't actually used in months and was too scared to try again, some rocks she liked the look of and had picked up on a walk, a couple of pretty feathers that had seen better days, a random seashell, and in a side pocket where she kept her precious things, a sterling silver necklace that she had been wearing the week before. It had broken while she was taking off a jacket, and she'd stuffed it in a pocket inside the bag to fix later. Later hadn't happened yet. The necklace was a very old thing her deceased parents had left for her. It featured a round medallion measuring 1.5 inches across, with an ornate Celtic-styled pentacle on one side and a set of runes engraved on the other side that she had never managed to decipher, despite living above an occult antiquities bookstore. It occurred to her many times that the necklace was a pretty improbably weird thing for her to have. Most people who inherited jewellery received crosses or rosaries, cameos or lockets, regular and predictable things. Apparently not so for her parents. They had been pagan, which was why she took it up as she got older. The exact nature of their beliefs had never been completely explained to her in any detail. Both Norbert and her Aunt Adelaide had always been reluctant to educate her on that subject. They said it had been such a long time ago, and it was so hard to remember that it didn't matter, and her mother was much more into it than her father anyway. It was probably something Celtic, though Lessie's father preferred the Greek gods due to his own ancestry from that region. Outside of that, they didn't say much, so Lessie was left to fill in the gaps on her own. The gap of a woman of Afro-Caribbean descent being into Celtic witchcraft was that of a Martian canyon, so her progress was pretty thin. Both Norbert and Adelaide seemed to get angry and stern when she explored her Celtic beliefs too much. She looked into it anyway sometimes. She couldn't help it. When one's mother had been so devoted to it, how could she not? But she found most of her joy in the old stories of ancient Greece. Her phone buzzed. It was just an alarm notifying her of a new email, but it reminded her that she was actually meant to be leaving to meet Ashika. After making sure she had everything she needed, she swung her bag over her shoulder and slipped out the front door. She had no idea of the clusterfuck she was about to walk into. Alessandra's mind was tied up in deep thought, swerving around random emotions that she wasn't ready to analyse yet. She burst out the front door of the building she lived in, and she was so engrossed in her inner world that she did not see the body coming the other way. She ploughed right into it with a bone-shattering, nerve-shaking slam. "Oh, fuck!" she yelped, staggering away. "I am so, so sorry!" Rubbing her arm, she turned and saw that she had run into a stunned-looking Luca. There were books all around him on the ground. "No, no, it was my fault too." He was already bending over to pick them up. Lessie joined him, making sure not to knock heads in the process. The books he had been given were rather old. She knew they were worth a bundle, but this boy did not look rich. "Wow, did you buy all these?" Luca's cheeks went a little pink. Oh no, your boss actually let me borrow these." "He's my uncle, actually," said Lessie. Luca's eyes went wide and he shook his head. "No way. He's amazing. You know that, right?" "Sure," said Lessie, wearing a playful and befuddled frown. "He's the king of weird books." "To start," said Luca. As he ran his hand through his thick dark brown curls, Lessie mentally girded herself. He then blew a sigh through his pursed lips. "I was gonna walk right into a werewolf pub just to figure out what the hell happened to me, and he talked me right out of that, thank Christ. I would have been dog food." Lessie blinked. Everything he said were words in English, but they didn't actually make any sense to her. It was like he had earnestly recited lines from a completely different conversation. "Wait, a werewolf pub?" she asked. "Yeah," he said, nodding. "On Fleetfoot Street, right by the bookshop with the grumpy Irish dude." She frowned deeper. "That's a metalhead pub, right?" "Well, yeah, most people think so," he said. He met her eyes, gauging her reaction, and then edged back a bit. "Hang on. You seriously don't know?" "Don't know what?" "You work in that shop," he said, "and you..." He did not get to finish his sentence. There was a split moment and bam! Lessie's entire body screamed as a body slammed into her again. Shoulders, hips, arms ploughing into her. Twice in one day was just not fucking fair. This time, however, it was merciless, and she felt her vision blast white as she was knocked to the ground. She sat on the pavement, dazed, wondering what the hell had just happened to her. Slowly, bringing her eyes up, she saw someone rangy and dressed in dark colours running away from her, her brightly coloured handbag swinging from their arm. Lessie cried out. There were barely any consonants to the sound she had just made. It was a sound of the deepest agony she had ever felt in her lifetime. She was losing her parents all over again. Her necklace was in the bag, and her bag was now gone. Next time on Witchery. The chase for her medallion leads Lessie astray, and they meet an alluring stranger.
"Who are you?" The woman before them chuckled, putting down the tube of antiseptic cream in her hands and reaching for the glass and a jug of water. "That is a very good question," she said, a smile forming on her lips that was beautiful, but like the sea, just a little bit scary if you thought about what it was capable of. Lessie was suddenly certain. This woman had power.
But what she has to say rocks Alessandra's entire world.
She crossed her legs, eyes flashing in amusement at Lessie. "You are quite sharp, and you needn't soften your edges for me, pet. I know you're not just into Greek mythology, because to you, it's more than mythology." She pointed at Lessie with a playful finger. "You're a witch." Lessie sputtered.
"How did you..."
The woman smiled. "Well, if you talk long enough to the gods, they're bound to talk back at some point."
All this and more on the next episode of Witchery. Subscribe and get the next installment as soon as it drops.
You have been listening to Witchery, written by Andrea K. Knight. Narrated and produced by Nancy Lorenz. Music composed and performed by Nancy Lorenz. Special thanks to Claire Worley, Blake Wyman, and Rebecca Littlehales.
Hi, Nancy here, narrator of Witchery the Podcast. If you have any questions or messages you'd like to send to us, write to us at thewitcherypodcastau, all one word, at gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Witchery the Podcast. There's a page and there's also a group where you can chat to other people who have listened to the show. From there, you can find all our other socials. I hope you write to us, because we'd love to hear from you. If you like, your question can be answered in our post-episode breakdowns, Witchery Supplemental. Thanks for listening.